I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word, yes, and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Hear that.
The God that healeth me, you are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
Sing it again.
Okay, well, welcome to our Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing out there in Pal Talk Land this week? Everybody doing good? Good. 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 Okay. Mom had a word she wanted to share before we start, so we're going to let her share first before we do anything else, okay? Then we'll open it up for everybody.
Hi, everyone. There's been something on my heart for a week or two that I wanted to share. We received a letter in the mail from Southwest Radio Ministries, and I felt portions of it was worth sharing, especially after in our local newspaper, we saw all the different celebrations for Independence Day. You know, I remember while growing up in America during the 1930s, how proud we were to be Americans. Everyone proudly displayed the American flag, and I can remember that the excitement I felt inside when the Star Spangled Banner was played or sung. This America is not that America, and I can no longer be proud of it or celebrate the birth of it. I can hardly say, God bless America, but rather, God judge America. And I'd like to read just an article from this paper. It's called Supreme Court Weighs In on Homosexual Issues. It's by Dr. David Schittinger. We are informed in Scripture that one of the consequences of idolatry is being turned over to unnatural affections. We read in Romans 1 that mankind is without excuse in their rejection of the Creator because His eternal power and Godhead are revealed by the things that are made, in Romans 1:20. As a result of that rejection, their hearts become foolish and darkened, and they become idolaters, Romans 1:21-23. This leads to God giving these idolaters over. It's God who gives them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, Romans 1:24. God not only gives them over to uncleanness, but also to unnatural affections. We read about this in Romans 1:26-28. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. This rejection and judgment process is not only true of individuals, it is also true of societies as a whole. As a society rejects the one and true God and turns to idolatry, that culture becomes foolish and is turned over to unnatural affections. This was true of the ancient Mideastern cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, leading to their complete destruction in Genesis 19. The Roman Empire also fell into idolatry and rampant homosexuality, leading to their eventual fall to the Vandals in A.D. 455. History has demonstrated that the widespread acceptance and practice of homosexuality in a culture is one of the last mileposts prior to the destruction of that society. As American society becomes increasingly godless and idolatrous, our culture is likewise becoming more foolish and darkened in its thinking and practices. One manifestation of that darkness is the militant homosexual movement that has emerged in America over the past 40 years or so. This led to two Supreme Court cases dealing with homosexuality equality. I would urge the reader to consider two things as both of these cases proceed through the Supreme Court. One is the question as to whether same-sex marriage is a civil right in the same sense that equality for people of all races and genders is guaranteed by the Constitution. In regard to the historic understanding of civil rights, it was only applied to persons, not behaviors. In other words, civil rights protections have historically been applied to people who were being discriminated against on the basis of their race or gender. There is no definitive evidence that homosexuality is an immutable trait rather than a lifestyle choice. Civil rights protections have not historically been applied to lifestyle choices. Put simply, civil rights applies to persons, not behaviors. A second thought to ponder is that even the fact that this issue has been placed before the Supreme Court is a sad commentary on the moral condition of our nation. I cannot imagine that our founding fathers even conceived of the idea that homosexuality would one day be considered to be a civil rights issue. You know, our Constitution was not made to give rights to those who make the wrong choice. I know homosexuality is a choice. Why I know this is because I personally know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Down through the years, I have learned to know Him through His Word and communing with Him between the wings of the cherubims. You know, God told Moses to put the Ark of the Covenant in the Holiest of Holies in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and on top of that to place the mercy seat and that was to be of gold. And above the mercy seat was two golden cherubims with their wings outstretched, touching one another. And then he told Moses in Exodus 25:22 that he would commune with him between the wings of the cherubims. And when Jesus died on the cross, the heavy curtain between the holy place and the holiest of holies in the temple was split in two, signifying that the way into the holiest of holies was accessible to us in the Spirit and through the Spirit. And we too could commune with God through Jesus Christ between the wings of the cherubim. What a wonderful thing Jesus did for us. So through his word and through communing with him, I know his character and his personality and his righteousness and his holiness. And so I know that he is not the kind of God that would create someone to be a homosexual and then at the end punish him for what his word claims is an abomination to him, man lying with man and woman with woman. This kind of knowledge and experience no one can take from you. I know some who had chosen to live the homosexual lifestyle and by the grace of God have met Jesus Christ and changed their choice and lived for Jesus. I'm going to read this last article. This other, it's just a short article, and it's by the president of Southwestern Radio Ministry. His name is Noah Hutchings, and he writes, "This past week, while checking to see if there was anything worth watching on television, I accidentally watched a meeting of the Joint Chiefs of Staff being represented by the highest commanding officers of our military branches, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard. The commander-in-chief of our armed forces, President Obama, was absent for good reason. As far as I know, this meeting was not reported on any major TV channel, newspaper, or magazine, the reason being that our news media is now controlled by homosexuals. All commanding officers of our military services testified that the rape situation within every military branch was out of control. This past year, there were more than 85,000 reported service-related rapes, and it was said that only 10 to 15% of the rapes are actually reported. This means there are approximately 1 million rapes per year now occurring in the military. According to two documented articles I have on my desk, as reported by NBC News 6513, the major portion of these rapes are men raping men. According to the testimony of our high command officers, the problem has gotten so bad they are losing control, and discipline now throughout the armed forces is rapidly deteriorating, with many soldiers committing suicide. All the high command officers testified that unless something is done, soon the armed forces of the USA will no longer be able to protect the nation. I served in World War II in the South Pacific War area, and any soldier, even suspected of homosexual activity, was immediately separated under guard until he could be given a mental health discharge. Fornicating Bill Clinton, impeached for lying about having sex with a woman less than half his age in the White House, opened the door for homosexual enlistment in the armed services. President Obama, whose sexual preference is bisexual, according to Larry Sinclair, a college roommate of Obama, in his book of Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder, opened the floodgates. It is obvious that Congress or Mr. Obama is not going to do anything to save this nation from this serious, extremely wicked situation. We warned that this was going to happen on our program and in our publications. We are warned by Jesus that when he came back again in judgment, it would be as it was in the days of Lot. Wake up. We are now living in Sodom, America. God bless and shalom.
Sodom and Gomorrah it is. Okay. Wait a minute. Andrew got his hand up. Go ahead, Brother Andy. You got the mic.
Well, good evening, everyone. I wanted to get on tonight and share something that's been real to me this week about what it is to be in the battle every day. It is discouraging when at times it seems like it has been explained 1,000 times in 1,000 ways to a person about their battles, yet they just don't get it. It all starts when someone has to face the truth or run from it. If you run from it, you lost the battle before you even started. It all comes down to this one question. How much are you willing to fight to be free and in right standing with God? This is why it is such a blessing to be a part of Zion's Trumpet, because all the brethren here are endeavoring to fight every day, each of us our own individual battles. I was thinking about how Christianity is a war. It is declaring war on the Adamic nature so that we can come forth in Christ's nature. When you think of a battlefield, there is the overall battle picture, and it ultimately comes down to each soldier fighting the enemy with one common goal, the defeat of the enemy. Some areas of the battle are filled with intense fighting, perhaps because the enemy has sent reinforcements to try to hold onto an area, whereas some areas may have been conquered already, but there are still guards posted in case of a surprise attack from the enemy. This is a picture of what it is supposed to be like in our own lives every day. When we fight intense battles, if we remain faithful, God will help us and eventually we can stand in victory. But it doesn't mean we can just forget about that area of the battle. The enemy will always try to come back. The flesh will always want to spring up again while we live on this earth. You know, when you get a taste of what real freedom is, it will cause you to want to fight all the more to keep that freedom. You won't want to get relaxed in a certain area where there is finally victory. Is it easy? No, not at all. It will be the hardest thing you have ever done in your life, but when you stand before the Lord, it will all be worth it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, quote, I die daily. Every day he is dying to the Adamic nature that he wants so badly to rise up. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 through 27, this is the King James Version, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said that he knew exactly what he was fighting every day. He knew his battles and he knew his freedom and he was going to keep on fighting so that after he had preached to others, he would not be a castaway. This calling is definitely not a quote-unquote your best life now proposition. Really, it makes me sick to think about how Christians think they can have their best life now and still live forever. Sure, anyone can have their best life now, but they will lose out on eternity. You have two choices, die now and live forever, or live now and be dead forever. You cannot sow sin and reap heaven. Whatsoever you sow, that will you reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. So that was all I had for tonight. Back to you, Dan.
Amen, Andrew. Good word. Looks like we got Joey here.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Oh, thank you, Ma. That was a very sobering word. I felt the anointing behind that. I just wanted to share something I wrote down last week, but didn't have time to finish it up. I was blessed by what Dan shared, so I thought I'd share a little bit of something that hopefully goes along with what he said. And also, actually, I didn't know Mom was going to share about America tonight and about what's going on, and so I have a little bit of that as well. So I'm just going to go ahead and read this. But I'm going to go ahead and begin with a story that I heard about a successful farmer who was told that if he walks or run a certain amount of land and be back where he started before sundown, he could have all the land he covered by foot and possess it for himself, no matter how big it was. So anyways, he sets out for his trip in the earliest part of the sunrise. He travels all day, getting as much land as he can cover by foot. As he was on his way back, he realizes that the amount of sunlight might not give him enough time to make it back. So being tired all day long, he determines to make it to the finish line before sundown and starts running. And from running, he sprints with all his might, with all his energy, nearing the finish line within minutes till sundown, knowing that failure to make it to the finish line will earn him nothing and lose everything he'd hoped for in owning such enormous amount of land, plus he would lose the money he spent to enter the contest. With all of his power to make it his willpower to make it to the finish line before sundown. He keeps running and sprinting to a point of coughing up blood, grasping for air to stay the course. He finishes the challenge and reaches, actually, the finish line by sundown. He falls down to the ground, unable to wake up. He actually drops dead on the spot, and his servants pick him up and digs a hole 6 feet deep and 3 foot wide, a hole in a piece of a small ground about the size of a bathroom doorway. I thought this story was pretty interesting, especially concerning the deceitfulness of riches, that Jesus said that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And unfortunately, that's exactly what a lot of people, namely even Christians, sadly speaking, actually do. They are constantly grasping for gain in this life, whether it be in business, possessions, and relationships with the people of this world, and not only the tangible carnal riches of this world, but also be rich in pride, ego, and selfishness that makes it almost impossible for such a man to repent in order to enter in the kingdom of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not about prospering in this temporal life. It's all about laying our lives down for Him, so we can lose this life and become a vessel of His endless life, whom He can use to overthrow this world and subdue it for the establishment of His kingdom. As evil as the government, as Mom was talking about last night, as evil as the government is, and what the people and Obama has been doing that has sold this nation to the filthy sodomites and Islamic jihadists, and how they have defied and blasphemed the God who started this great nation. And yet so many Christians are praying for Obama and the salvation of this nation through false hopes in revivals and spiritual awakenings, all because they love this life. They are rich in this life to a point of deceiving themselves about God's vision and plans for these last days. First of all, there are no more preachers, not that I know of, powerful enough to turn this nation around. Not even the Whitfields and the Wesleys, if they were alive today, they could turn, they wouldn't be able to turn any people around to make any change in this nation because of a degenerate, untoward generation who does not even have the common sense and the conscience to be so sick about that criminal in the White House. But because this generation is so hungry for gain, therefore they will not listen to the truth about what is going on around them, and the Christians are just itching for what they want to hear according to their lust. Today, if there were still genuine Americans by constitutional and biblical religious definition of old that would make this nation America as it was at one point, that long-legged monkey would have been guilty as charged for treason and executed as a criminal to the highest extent a long time ago for all the scandals and betrayals he's been committing against America. But people will not rise up to fight for their nation. They will not give their sweat and blood to put the tyrants in their place, nor make a statement where it really counts, which is a bloody revolution. There are no more Americans. That is why nobody loves the truth of the history and the constitution of this nation according to the founding fathers. They are too self-consumed that they actually love bondage more than defending their freedom. They would write books after books, participate in getting the word out about what the bad guys are doing. They will talk and talk, write blogs and websites, TV shows and conferences and rallies, but they will never do the very thing that birthed this country as a nation of freedom in the first place, which is give me liberty or give me death. I will have my God-given freedom and liberty as an American, or I will die as a fearless freedom fighter or warrior with your blood at the end of my sword, rather than dying as a coward in bondage under the hand of ungodly, wicked communist murderers like Obama, who turned the White House into a sodomite whorehouse. You know, of course, I'm not saying we should participate in such revolution. I'm just saying, if you value God's justice and holiness, you will try to pay attention to what's going on around you, and because of the lawlessness that's progressing around you, your soul will be vexed against the wickedness and against those who love to practice sin and allow it to somehow get you more desperate for the coming of the Lord. Mom and I was talking among the guys, and we all agreed that God wants us to look for His kingdom to come and be prepared for that kind of revolution, so to speak, because that's what this walk in the high calling is all about, being conformed into the image and likeness of Jesus so we can operate in His Father's kingdom and be on His side when it's time for God's will to be the only thing that will be forced down in the rebellious nation's throats, because we are of the same nature as He is when He appears. So I personally find it very important to lay down what God is asking me to lay down instead of trying to grasp for lands and possessions, carnal riches and fleshly gain. Because he who finds his life in this world shall lose it, but he who loses his life will find the life that comes from above by building our lives on things eternal. What good is it if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul? Let us not be like the man who was grasping for so much riches by having as much land as he could, when at the end, when he dropped dead, the only amount of land he actually needed was a 6 foot hole in the ground at 3 feet wide. When it's time for you to drop dead, how much by then have you invested in the eternal realm to gain the riches of life in God's kingdom? Or how much have you wasted your energy, your sweat and blood to gain the riches of this world? What we sow is what we will reap according to our works. So anyway, I just wanted to share that to encourage anyone tonight. I'm just going to end it right here. I just want to encourage to seek the Lord, for everyone to seek the Lord and be ready to count all things but loss for the sake of winning Christ, which is the prize of the high calling. God bless and good night.
Good show, Joey. Well, hang on a second. We got Cameron wants to come up and share. Hang on.
Hello, Al. That was good sharing, guys, everyone. I wanted to quick share something that was quite disturbing to me. The past couple of weeks, the guys on here have been mentioning how evil this nation is getting and how it is ripe for God, or for the judgment of God. And we often ask ourselves, is there no patriots left to put up a fight for what is right? And the answer to that is no. In my mind, Glenn Beck and his team were maybe the only ones that even came close. That was until he made his position clear on where he stands with the homosexuals. It was around the time when the government passed the bill that made homosexuals legal on a federal level that Glenn Beck said that homosexuals have a right as American citizens to practice what they want. He says, it's just not fair that they force it on the rest of us. But I have news for you, Mr. Beck. When America was born, it was not so people could do as they please. It was not so they could have freedom to practice your abominations unto God. No, it was born so people could freely worship God and do His will without having some socialist dictate how you or how or when you do it. It would also be nice if people would wake up and understand that the more freedom homosexuals get, the more our freedom gets taken away. I believe it was Andrew here who said that Bill O'Reilly thinks that it should be illegal to tell gays that they're going to hell. We truly live in a Sodom and Gomorrah nation. But thank you all. That's all I have to share.
Amen. Amen, Joey, and amen, Cameron. They were good words. Absolutely. And so was Mom's. A great word Mom had. I almost spoke on homosexuality tonight myself. I didn't know Mom was going to speak on that. But I got on something else. Okay, anybody else here want to share before I start? Pardon me, my voice is kind of creaky tonight. Looks like we got Johnny. Go ahead, Johnny, you got the mic, brother.
Oh, hi, everyone. Well, that was some good word all the way through, starting from the beginning to now. And Joey, that was... I just wanted to say thanks for that word, and I wanted to say... That is one of the reasons or the beginning block of truth that the Lord showed me before I came to Pennsylvania from Minnesota is that for a person to gain the whole world and lose his soul is really come on me strong before I even came here. And I've been seeing parallels with Abraham. I'm going to start studying a little bit on Abraham. And what he did is so needful to obey God. And it's been many months now, and because of what's been happening, because of the growth that's taking place and the dying that's been done in me, I have this song that I wanted to do that I've been pondering on for a couple weeks, and it just has blessed me. Where you brought me from and where I am today, I stand amazed at the change. When I think where I am, where it might have been, I've got one thing to say. I know you do what you say. Clouds are clearing and now I see a brighter day ahead. I hear the words are ringing in my ear, you'll rise from the dead. And I believe the words you speak to me, you walk with me each day. Cause I know you do what you say. Of where you brought me from and where I am today, I stand amazed at the change. And I think where I am and where I might have been, I've got one thing to say. I know you do what you say. Your words became alive and life unto me. Remember where you brought, take me to higher ground and great liberty. Cause I know you'll do what you say. When I think of where you brought me from and where I am today, I stand amazed at the change. When I think of where I am and where I might have been, if I got one thing to say, I know you do what you say. I believe when you say I'll rise again, I believe you when you tell me I'm free from sin. I believe you when you tell me going all the way. I know you do what you say. And I trust you cause you do what you say. When I think of where you brought me from and where I am today, I stand amazed at the change. When I think of where I am and where I might have been, I've got one thing to say. I know you do what you say.
Okay, Johnny, good. That's a good one. You come a long way, Johnny. Let me praise the Lord for that. That's a good song. All right, who's next? Anybody else? Okay. Well, maybe afterwards. I was going to put a thing up on my website about 2 years ago. It was a book called The Criminalization of Christianity. It's by a lady named Janet Folger. She now has a Leonard last name. She's Janet Folger or something else. She got married. And she's political. She's a political activist for family against homosexuality. She wrote a book laying out very clearly how it was the homosexuals in this nation through legislation that was going to criminalize Christianity. And that's exactly what's happened. And she foretold that 10, 12 years ago that book came out. She also read it and put it on audio. And I downloaded it. And I was going to put it on my website. And I decided not to because she is a political activist. She's constantly giving us things we can do to stop it. She thinks it can be turned around. You know, I didn't want that stream of error in there because you can't turn it around. But I think we're going to put it up anyway and just give this disclaimer that we don't believe you can turn it around. We believe she's wrong. But the information she gives on how it came down, how it's coming down, and what the goal is absolutely correct in exposing and putting down on paper very simply exactly how the homosexuals would make Christianity illegal in this country through their agenda. And I want to tell you something. Homosexuals hate God, and homosexuals hate Christianity. And if they had their way, we would all be in jail or dead, because that's what used to happen to them. When this country was first started, all homosexuals who got caught indulging in that lifestyle went to jail or they were killed. Those laws were on the books for the first 100 years of our country's existence. It was just the last 3,500 years that they began striking those laws from the books or changing them and rewriting them. Homosexuals deserve to die if they do not repent. That's what the Bible says. If you do not kill them, if you do not keep them down to a minimum, they will destroy whatever nation they are part of. They will destroy the families, and they will eventually destroy the nation. They are a cancer. That's why God said kill them. It's not murder when you excise a cancer out of society. That is self-preservation. Self-preservation. And the people of America have been so brainwashed, and they're so brain dead and filled with demons, they don't even know what it means, and no desire to preserve their own culture, to preserve their own lives. And they're going to let these faggots and lesbians put them in jail and murder them before it's all over. And I say the only way to stop that is to do it to them first. So I put that book up, How the Homosexual Movement's Going to Criminalize Our Religion. There's another book called Agenda. It was written to a guy named, I think Sidney Sheldon was his name. I downloaded that and transferred it to a PDF version and various other versions. I'm going to put that up. So if anybody's interested, you can read what's going on in this country and get up to date, up to speed, and realize these people want you and I dead. They want anybody who's against them, who thinks what they're doing is a sin, and it's not good for society. If that's of your mindset, they want you dead. Don't ever think these people are nice. Don't ever think they're tolerant. Their tolerance goes only one way. You tolerate them and all their abominations. You let them mess with all your men, turn all your children into faggots, and they'll tolerate. That's it. But if you don't tolerate that, they'll kill you. They'll sue you, shut you up, put you in jail, and eventually kill you. I'm telling you, it's true. These people have murder in their heart because they hate God. And I was going to speak on that tonight, but I changed my mind. You all know that the Zimmerman trial concluded yesterday, and he was pronounced not guilty on all counts. George Zimmerman, the guy who killed Trayvon Martin, the black teenager who was on dope and who was prowling the neighborhood, who had gone out to buy things to get high, and he jumped on this guy and almost beat him to death. And the only way he could stop him is to shoot him. And that was going on for a year now. And for a year, the whole country, from the DOJ to the American president himself, has been on this guy's case trying to convict him of a white hate crime. And the trial was a joke. It was a travesty of justice. Shooting went to trial, and they pulled every dirty trick they could to suppress all the information about Trayvon Martin that would show that he was a criminal. He was just a punk, a black punk, street thug. The original demonstrations that went on in Florida right after that happened, was one of the main causes of bringing the special prosecution in and them having a court case. That whole thing was funded by an Obama front group, part of the Obama White House, a group, not a front group, but a regular group, part of the White House. So the very day one, Obama and the DOJ and everybody has been trying to hang this guy to satisfy the black lust and their white hatred. Now, we're going to talk about racism tonight. I'm tired of white people remaining silent. I'm tired of white people being afraid to be called racist when they tell the truth about something. So first, we're going to start with the scripture, okay? Acts 17:24-27. Paul says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Okay, God has made of one blood all nations to dwell on the face of the earth. That means the same kind of blood. Nobody's blood is inferior. A white man's blood is not superior to a black man's blood. An Indian, Native Indian's blood is not superior to a white man's blood or a black man's blood. Korean blood, Asian blood, Chinese blood. No blood is superior to other blood. God's made us all of one blood. He made us equal. So there's no basis for racism on anybody's part based on the bloodline of a person or a people. However, God did not create all cultures equal. Not all cultures are equal. Cultures are not created by God. Cultures are created by men, by the type of morality and the type of political and economic inclinations different people have to set up for themselves. The only culture God set up was the Hebrew culture, and I believe the American culture, because that American culture was an extension of the Judeo-Christian culture. So it's not racism to say that one kind of culture is better than another kind of culture based on moral standards, based on the morality, based on the gods they serve. There's nothing racist about that. In fact, you're a fool if you're one of those who has been brainwashed to this multiculturalism thing that's been such a part of our country now and whole world thing for 50 years, okay? The fundamental principle of multiculturalism, which has destroyed England right now. England has been destroyed. Spain's already been destroyed. Europe is being destroyed. The culture of Europe is being destroyed because all these people have been brainwashed for years to think that all cultures are equally valid. They're all the same. None's better than the other. And if you say that your culture is better than somebody else's culture, you're a racist, all right? The fundamental principle of multiculturalism is that all cultures are equally valid. They're equally valid politically, economically, and morally, and nobody can judge another culture as inferior. And it has destroyed Europe, and it's destroying the United States right now. You see, because in order to destroy America, you had to destroy the culture, because the culture is what the people are. If the culture was still Christian, the Christians would have risen up and taken back this country 50 years ago. It's no longer Christian. It no longer has a backbone. It no longer has any courage. The culture of Christian courage, of self-deference, of putting other things before yourself, has been destroyed by materialism, hedonism, and multiculturalism, you see. And so the people have become weak, simple, brainwashed noodles that will blow with any wind, take anything. They'll go to jail and die as wimps, because the culture has been destroyed. And it's been destroyed from within. And it's used the legal system step by step to do it. But it's our culture that has been destroyed.